Hello, dear saints. I hope you've been having a good day. Welcome to the final episode of Navigating Your Bible. I think today is day six. We trust we're going to have a good time of fellowship today. As much as possible, I'm avoid all forms of distractions, and let's just go right into the word. Okay? Let's go into the world. Let's go in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth. And we declare and decree at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. We will just try put cross our I's for this seminar for now, Navigating Your Bible, the second one for the year. All right, so let's just go right into the word. So look at John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So what we've done with this series is to place emphasis on the love of God and also paid attention to the responsibility that comes with the love of God that we have received. So a man who believes the gospel is one who is born again and he has everlasting life. So by default, the believer has everlasting life and has a sense of responsibility. Are you with me? I'll go all the way to 1 John 3. We tried to dwell a little on 1 John 3 and 4, went back and forth, just to establish some fundamental things. So look at 1 John 3, verse 16. 1 John 3:16, "Hereby perceive with the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Look at that again, verse 16. "Hereby perceive with the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Now it says, "But whoso had this world's good and seeth his brother have needs, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Are we together? Now look at verse 18. "My little children, let us love in word, neither in tongue." Let us not love in word, rather, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." Right? Let's not go all the way down. If you look at chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because he knew him." So the love of God has been extended to us by extension, has made us or given us the ability or privilege to be called sons of God. And we said that the word "their son" there doesn't mean the masculine and child of a man, right? It's a word that just means that which has an inheritance, of that which has something that was once promised and now your reality. So you have God as your father, your source, right? And father in the real sense as well will not mean the male progenitor, is that the word, or the male version of the person that makes a child come into being. And so we say our father which is in heaven. Well, we are not really saying that God is male, yeah, for God really is as male and female as he is. Well, that's a very tricky conversation to have, right? But we don't want to go into that for this evening. I think we said a few things about that in a couple months back or years back. But one thing is, when it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father," when you think God is Father, I don't think that in the real sense that is talking about God the Father as a male species. You may ask yourself, okay, so why did Jesus come as a man? Well, really, if he had come as a woman in the world he came with, he would not be as accepted as he was as a man. Are we together? You see, the word "their father" just means that which is the source. right? The source from whom others will come, or from the source and the source that and from whom others will be birthed or be regenerated or be generated, so to say, right? So he says, behold, all manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, right? And that Father that has bestowed a love upon us, he has also bestowed a love that Hebrews will say is brotherly love. Hebrews 2:11. He says, and both he that sanctified and they which are sanctified are all of one. And for this cause, he's not ashamed to call them brethren. And brethren just really means, it's not, so when he says brethren, he's not speaking about brothers alone. Or so when we say we are brothers in Christ, we're not necessarily talking about the fact that we are male species or we are guys in Christ. We're really just saying we are those who are born of the same womb. That means we have a unique experience or a uniform, what do you call it? A uniform source, so to say. Well, our Father which is in heaven, our brother in the real sense, same. So when Hebrews 2 now says, for this cause is not ashamed to call us brethren, he now goes further in chapter 13 to say, let brotherly love continue. Now, why should brotherly love continue? Because brotherly love first started from the sanctifier to the sanctified, so that the sanctified can do that same to another, right? So look at what Jesus teaches in Matthew 28. Look at John 13:34 quickly. John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Excuse me. Right? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Right? That's the same thing Jesus taught in Matthew 22. Look at Matthew 22 quickly. Matthew 22:36. Matthew 22:36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and with all thy mind. He said, this is the first and great commandment. Look at, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So Jesus summarizes the law and the prophets on two commandments. And he says, the first is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. And we call that 1A if you've been listening and following all the past days, right? And we said, so the great commandment is one that has two branches, right? And that one is under the umbrella of the one umbrella love that has two branches, love towards God or love from God towards man, and then man's love towards another man. So when he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, really what he's saying is receive of his love, right? Receive of his love, then see that love he has given as a template or an example to dispense to another. Are we together, right? So thou shalt love one another as thyself, or as you have been loved, or as I have loved you, is you see the love template I give to you, right? You give that same love template, or you see from that template and give that same love to another human. Now the question is, will everybody love you the way you love them? Well, not necessarily, right? Will everybody reciprocate the love you give to them back to you? Not necessarily. But what do you owe man? You owe man as a believer love, right? Will every believer, you know, I've said it over the past few days, right? The only way you can take offense from the middle of the church, the only way you can take offense from the middle of saints, is to separate man from other men, right? You can only be prone to not living in, or be exposed to the possibility of offenses by living as a man in an island of his own. Yeah, do you understand? So the moment you know you are going to be in the middle of man, you must always recollect that man will always have the tendency to offend. Yeah, so can a man see your leg just set forth on its own and actually deliberately open his eyes and step on it? Yes, a man can do it. What should be your response? Your response is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as you have been loved. So it means you will not respond to the offense that a man brings your way, but you will respond, you will not respond based on the offense that man brings your way. You will respond based on the love that God has brought your way, right? So God brings the love your way. You see that love he brings your way as a template to demonstrate love towards the other. Are we together, right? So if you are one, for instance, who is always receiving love, well, and you say, well, he is being a believer. Well, in the real sense, you will need to give yourself to, you know, to sound doctrine to actually see that whilst you receive love, you owe that, you owe others love as well. Are we together, right? And if you are one who doesn't receive love, well, you need to also remind yourself every day, right, that whilst you don't receive love as much, you still owe the other love. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's the sum of what we've been saying. So we've been trying to establish what exactly is the responsibility that comes with the love of God. Look at Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 8. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. Right? So is man supposed to owe another man something? Yes, let me say it differently. Is a man in Christ supposed to owe another man in Christ something? Yes. What should the man in Christ owe the other man? The man in Christ should owe the other man love. Right? It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So it means that what should be primary on the on your heart as a being or as a believer is the concept of love. First, the love you've received. Then by extension, the responsibility that comes with that love. Yeah, we saw that over the last 2 days or 3 days when we spoke about James 2. James will teach faith without works is dead. Are we together? You will say faith without works is dead. Show me your faith by your works, or I will show you my faith by my works. So we saw a lot of those things over the past few weeks. And we're just trying to, you know, put a comma to this series for now. Put a comma to this series for now. So if you go all the way to Romans 12, before you go to Romans 12, 19. So Romans 12, 19 says something. It says, dear beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. So what does, so if man is to repay another man who does evil to him, what is the man to repay with? If your enemy be hungry, feed him. So he says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him water to drink, or give him to drink, right? For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. In doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, what is the coal of fire really to do? The coal of fire will be to quench or to lead that man or that woman into repentance. Are we together? To lead that man or that woman into repentance. So it means that the repentance that is expected from a man, there's a way you would demonstrate love, and that love will be cause of fire, or fire that will be consuming. Yeah, you know, consuming fire. And that consuming fire will quench the things that I need. Now, what I'm saying might take time. What I'm saying might take a long time. You see, to a very large extent, you are not the one that will really determine when a man will change because of the love you are giving. But for every point T, So for every time T, what is expected from you is the love. So can you keep showing love 5 years and you not see a change in someone? Oh yes, there's every tendency that will happen. Happy are you when you are a saint who you have been shown love for 5 years, for 10 years, and you also realize that you owe another love. Right? But let's say, peradventure, the person you are showing love 5 years, 10 years, 20 years is not responding. Yeah, what do you do at that point T, 20 years? So when point T equal to 20 years of showing love, you still owe that person love. 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 Are we together, right? So he says in verse 21, be not overcome evil, overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. So that's the expectation that God has for the believer. The believer is to reciprocate. So is there a thing called retaliation? Yes, there's a thing called retaliation. But the retaliation for the believer is not to give a man who is his neighbor what the man gives him, right? Yeah, but or to give a man or to respond to a man with what the man responds to him or gives him. Are we together? So that's why the Bible will say, if your neighbor slaps you, turn the other side of your cheek. Yeah? Turn the other side of your cheek really means look for a way to resolve quickly. Yeah? And Romans will tell you, as long as the light with you, live peaceably with all. Yeah? So it means that man might not always bring your way good. Oh, I expected that, hey, you would have loved me more. Well, I expected you would have loved me more doesn't mean that I will now change from giving you love. Are we together? So you expected I would have loved you more, right? Well, that I don't love you as you think I should love you doesn't mean it should change towards me. Yeah, that's the love of God. Are we together? So it means we meet at the face, or we meet right in the face of hatred a man brings our way. We meet it with the overwhelming love of God. We meet the evil that man brings our way. We meet it with the love of God, right? That is the godly way to be a believer, or that is the believer's way to be a believer. That is the way to be a believer, right? That's the expectation from a believer or not for a believer, right? So will people offend you? Yes, people will offend you. In fact, if you're not careful, every day of your Christian faith. But in the real sense, what is expected from you every day? Yeah, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, right? So if we say that God is full of mercy, in the real sense, it means the believer is full of mercy. Why? Because the believer has received of God's mercy and will need to be a follower. Ephesians 5, be ye therefore followers of God and walk in love, even as Christ has loved you. Are we together? So we see the example of God's mercy dispensed towards us, then we will actually see a template in that to follow. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For Christ, as Christ offered these things for us, leaving for us an example that we should follow his steps. Are we together? So Christ will suffer. In these examples of his suffering, we see a template to follow. Yeah, Paul will say, be ye imitators, be ye followers. That means the believer is saved to copy and paste the conduct of God in Christ Jesus. Are we together? So it's for the Lord's mercy we are not consumed. His compassion, they fail not. The compassion of the Lord fails not. He says there, Lamentations 3, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. What is they are new every morning? Every morning is an opportunity for you to remind yourself that the faithfulness of God is actually what it is. That God is faithful. That God's compassion does not end, does not fail. Right? His mercy endures forever. Are we together? So if God's mercy endures forever, it means that man's mercy should endure. Are we together? Or man should have an attitude of enduring in mercy. What do you call enduring in mercy? It is what you call long suffering. Are we together? It's what you call patience. So it means you'll be patient. It means you'll be long suffering with people. So you'll bring love to the table, and in the real sense, people might not always bring love to the table, but your love you will bring has a tendency of burning down that which isn't of love that they put on the table. Are we together? So it means that we cannot afford to put ourselves into this very tit-tat conversation or approach to the Christian faith, right? He doesn't greet me, I don't greet him. She doesn't greet me, I don't greet him. Yeah, she doesn't say hello to me, I don't say hello to him, to her, right? He doesn't give me food when I'm hungry, I don't give him. No. So if he doesn't give you food when you're hungry, what is God saying to you? Give him food, give her food when she is hungry. Yeah, as long as you have food to give. Yeah, don't shut up your bowels of compassion. Are we together? Don't shut up your bowels of compassion. Always express love. You see, always find a way to love and love and love well. Always find a way to express love. Always find a way to forgive and let go. Always find a way to reciprocate, not on account of what man brings your way, but on account of what God has brought your way. Are we together? Well, so we've tried to explain a few of these things over the past few weeks. Look at Philemon. Look at Philemon 1. Let me see if I can touch Philemon today. Look at Philemon. So I'll just run through Philemon, give you a quick example of what has been taught. Now, Peter would ask Jesus a question. How many times should I forgive a man that sins against me? And Peter would put a cap on it and say, is it 7 times? And Jesus would say, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a king who forgave another, and the other did not forgive the other. Yeah, we saw that over the past few weeks, right? Is there a thing called much is expected from you because you are God's child? Yes. To whom much is really given, much is really expected. So why am I saying these things every day? Or why have I said these things every day for the past few days? It's because really, to whom much is given, much is expected. Is there a tendency for a believer to walk in the lust of the flesh? Yes. You know, you can get yourself in a place where you are boiling, and in the middle of your boiling, you walk yourself out of boiling just because you remember God has loved you, or God has shown you love, and you expect, and you're expected to show love. Are we together? Is there a tendency for you to be in the middle of a conversation or in the middle of a relationship with someone? You've been friends with someone for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and the person steps on your toes. Anyway, yes. Yeah, can that be hurtful? Yes, so it's hurtful. Yeah. Can that lead you into emotions? Oh, yes, it can lead you into emotions. Oh, in fact, can your emotions get the best of you at times? Yeah, a lot of times it can happen that way. But in the real sense, in the middle of your emotions, you recollect that you are not an emotional person over a believer. You are first a believer. So it means that what that does to your consciousness, it aligns your thoughts, your feeling in the middle of the expression of your emotions. Are we together? So whilst your emotions is having the best of you at the time, you can recollect and catch yourself out of that and actually remind yourself that God really loves me and I expect to love another as long as the other is a neighbor. Are we together? So you can get yourself to that place and actually exhibit love and exhibit, and you can actually, in the middle of your emotions that might be going south, you get yourself back in God's word and start acting on it. Yeah, James will say, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, right? What is the reason for hearing the word? Is so that you can do the word, right? So you see, look at it. As I'm talking to you right now, there might be no reason for you to walk in love towards anybody. Why? Because you are listening to me at this point, and you really might not be able to divide your attention to listening to me and be fighting with someone else. Well, some people can. But what am I saying? I'm saying that when things are going all rosy, it is not really a time where you say, I'm walking in love. Well, are you walking in love? Let's assume you're walking in love. But we really know if you are really walking, running, or jogging in love, or crawling in love, when we see you in the middle of a neighbor who brings evil your way. Are we together? So God becomes the first one to become man's neighbor. Then God extends his love to man as man's neighbor, so that man will extend that love to another man as man's neighbor. Are we together? So God loves you. God loves me. Give me his love, overwhelming love. And in giving me his overwhelming love, what happens? He demonstrates an attitude to us that will be a template of expressing love to another. So look at Philemon 1. Look at Philemon chapter 1. Look at Philemon chapter 1. Look at Philemon 1. Let's see that quickly. Yeah. So Philemon says, verse 1. Look, let's go all the way to verse 4 for our time. I thank my God, making mention of you in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoy thee that which is convenient, and yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. So who was Onesimus? Look at it. Whom I have begotten in my bonds. So Onesimus got saved. Are we together? By our dear brother Paul, right? And brother Paul, before meeting Onesimus, was already a brother to brother Philemon, right? Now it says, look at what Paul says to Philemon. It says, Onesimus, which in the time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Are we together, right? He says, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is my own Boaz. Now, so what is Paul saying? You see this Onesimus, he might have been once unprofitable to you, but now he is profitable to me and even to you, in fact, right? Receive him as you receive me. That's the summary of Philemon, right? He now goes all the way to verse 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, right? Especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he had wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that in my account. I, Paul, have written with my own hand, I will repay it, right? Look at verse 21. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt do also more than what I have said. Let me summarize Philemon for you. The man called Philemon was a brother of Paul, Philemon had a person called Onesimus, who in an average person might call unprofitable, right? Onesimus leaves Philemon and encounters the gospel of our Lord and Savior through the teaching of Paul. Are we together? And Paul gets him saved and, you know, maybe disciples him, right? And in that conversation, Paul now says, oh, you are from Philemon. Are we together? You see, what did Paul not do? Paul did not say, Philemon is my brother. So Philemon is my brother. You are Philemon's, in quote, enemy. So Philemon's enemy is my enemy. Yeah, Paul did not say that, right? Paul did not stay away from Onesimus and say, because you are my friend's enemy, you automatically become my enemy. What did Philemon do? Paul did not say, because you are Philemon's enemy and Philemon is my G, is my guy, you are my enemy. See, look at it. If Philemon should hear Paul should do that, and in the recent, Philemon is supposed to call Paul and correct Paul. Yeah, that's the godly thing to do. Why? Because Paul should not relate to Onesimus the way Onesimus related with Philemon. But Paul should relate to Onesimus the way God related to Paul. Are we together? Right? Paul in the middle of sin, Paul in the middle of a wretched life, God got him, picked him from the mud clay, set him upon the solid rock, made him saved, born again, apostles to many. Right? And we see, we are reading Paul today, we are reading Romans, Galatians, Colossians, Ephesians. Right? Paul, who was consenting to the killing of man, of disciples that were preaching the gospel, yet God did not say, out of my anger, because you are stopping the word from prevailing, I will take your life, Paul. No, God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. Are we together? Right? So what did God do? God, in the middle of Paul's consenting to the death, right, of Stephen, yeah, God will continue allowing the word of truth to be eroded from the lips of Stephen whilst being stoned to death. And Paul will hear the message of the gospel and have an encounter chapters later and become born again and become a master of the word. Are we together? So he will find himself in prison, in bond, right, and meet a man called Onesimus. He didn't say, Philemon is my G. Onesimus, you are not Philemon's G, right? Get away from my life. Yeah, you see that cartel. I like to watch a lot of Mexican movies, right? I like to watch it, not because let me tame what I need to say. But I like the storyline, most importantly, right? I love watching those storylines. But a lot of times, when I watch those storylines, I see that is what a lot of believers practice as love walk. Or that's what of believers practice as whatever name you want to call it, right? But in the real sense, what did Paul not do? Paul did not act like a Mexican cartel lord. What did Paul do? Paul will pick Onesimus. And Paul will say, I am assured of you, Philemon, that you allow the word have a free course in your heart, despite what Onesimus has done for you. You know the funny thing? Paul now sends the letter through the Onesimus. Do you know what that means? Let me explain to you. You, like this, you have somebody that offended you, right? And me, for instance, your pastor is living in another world. You had somebody that offended you. The person left you. Then when the person left you, the person found me, I found the person, right? And in finding the person, I didn't say because you are my G, right? I stopped relating and I hate you and put you on my list of enemies. Are we together? Paul knows that the word of God can actually, that Philemon will be such a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. So Paul will say, you see, Onesimus, now you are my son, or you are my child, or you are my brother, so to say. You see that Philemon, I will send you to Philemon. Now, what I did not do was, I did not send a letter using royal mail, right, behind Onesimus' back to say to you, and say, you know what, I'm sending Onesimus your way, please, when you see him, forgive him. I didn't do that. I now said, Onesimus will be my royal mail. So I write a letter and hand it over to Onesimus and say, Onesimus, go and meet Philemon. I am sure that I am confident in Philemon obeying God's word. Are we together? Right? So it means that before Philemon will see Onesimus, before Philemon will read the letter, what Paul is even asking Philemon to do, Philemon would have read or would have seen Onesimus first, for starters. What a confidence a Paul will have in a brother Philemon, right? Be that sense that I will have that confidence in you. You will have that confidence in me that you will do the word, that I will do the word. And in case I'm not doing the word, I need to be corrected, right? I will not form island of my own. I will not form I'm the most knowledgeable believer. I won't form I'm the youngest most knowledgeable believer. I won't form I'm the oldest most knowledgeable believer. I will just receive myself as a believer and receive the word with meekness and let that transform my heart. For Paul will say, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The act of renewing your mind will be a daily, a minute, an hour conversation, You see, you can renew your mind now and somebody offends you the next second, right? And in that second, you that just renewed your mind will act like somebody who is conformed to the world, right? What I'm saying is, in the middle of that, you can get yourself together, pick yourself up together, and remind yourself that you are a doer of the word. Are we together? You are a doer of the word. So the book of Philemon in itself is an example to the saints. Yeah, Paul is saying, having heard of that joy and the faith. Look at that again, Philemon 1:4. Look at Philemon 1:4. He says, I thank my God, making mention of you, having hearing of thy love and faith, which thou had towards the Lord Jesus. How will Paul understand the love of Philemon towards the Lord Jesus? He will understand it by seeing his love towards the saints. Right? So he will understand it by seeing his love towards his faith. For we have great joy and consolation in your love. That's verse 7. Because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. So Philemon was one who will expose love from his bowels of compassion so that he will refresh the bowels of other saints. What an example. What a solid example. Yeah, dear saints, be that example, right? To me as well. I need to be that example that you will see. Are we together? I need to be that example that you will see. Why? For an elder really should be an example in words and in deeds as well. Are we together? It's not enough to know the Greek word for love. Yeah, the word for love is agape. You know, I know a lot of people, not just couple. A lot of us are saints. We know all the Greek words you can think of. Yeah, we know all the Latin, Hebrew, Aramaic words. We know all the languages Jesus spoke. Yeah, dear saints, there's such a thing called the lab of the world. What happens in the lab? The lab is where you bring into experiment that which you've been taught in theory classes. Are we together? So this is theory class. You are not walking in love towards me in this class. Eh? How will you know you are understanding and being a doer of the word? Is when you leave this class and you find another neighbor who does something terrible to you. Are we together? Then what do? A right time to be a doer of the word. A right time to recollect the love of God. A right time to realign yourself in the word of God. Are we together? So we started looking at something yesterday, James 4. Look at what James is teaching in James chapter 4, verse 3. If ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. We started explaining that yesterday. Now, we said that James was addressing wars and fighting. Now, let me recap a little. See, you cannot exclude offense, right, from the activities of men. Yeah, but you can actually work on responses to offense within the activities of men. What do I really mean? It means that within a local church, there's a chance that offense will be there. Do members of the same local church live in offense? Yes. Do members of the same local church live in strife? Yes. Is it impossible? It's not impossible. If it is impossible, there will be no need to instruct the saint to walk in love. Because it just really means that as long as you are a saint, you are already default going to know you walk in love. There's so many emphasis of walking in love across the scriptures is there for a reason. Is there for a reason, right? So before you can say offense will not be found in the church, right, is that if you need to first of all say that human beings will not be found in the church. So the probability of offense will remain as long as human beings will remain. You get that, right? So, so that's why you see the church is a place where you have different people at different spiritual levels or different spiritual understanding. Yeah, You know, we all really, who might have been Christians before joining God's palace, and we did not have the exact same level of knowledge. That's the truth. What am I saying? I'm saying that, see, if we're coming from various places where attention wasn't given to sound doctrine or the word, and the emphasis will differ, so the things we will know will usually differ. There will be fundamental things we accept or we will believe. Right, but there are things that will differ. So when we come together, for instance, we are coming to a local church where there's a tendency to find one person who believes that God kills his enemies because God is his father, or God kills our enemies because God, she's the apple of God's eye. She's the Holy Ghost baby girl. You know, some people that they always tell you that the Holy Spirit calls me baby girl, baby, the Holy Spirit calls me boo. Yeah, the Holy Spirit calls, well, and that love you are looking for, if you are married, well, you need to actually speak to your husband or your whoever your partner is. Let me say it better, as a woman, your husband, before I say partner, you get the wrong thing, right? You speak to your husband as a woman and tell him, oh, I feel like you can do this better. But not the one that you are lacking romance and you are saying the Holy Spirit Spirit is romancing you. No. Put things where they are, right? See things for what they are. We don't see any scripture of any lady. The ladies we see in scriptures, the way the Holy Spirit romanced them was by quickening their hearts to labor. Quickening their heart. Paul would say, Greet Phoebe. Are we together? Paul will speak about Aquila, Priscilla. They were laboring. That's the romance of the Holy Ghost. Labor in the word and acting on the word. Did you get that? Right? So in the real sense, we would have different people with different ideologies, different backgrounds. Right? So it means that people might not always be on the same level of growth. You see, you know that there are some things I will say that not everybody will actually get it even after the fourth time. And that's why am I repeating it? You see, what have I done in 5-6 days? Right? I've repeated a concept. Right? I've used the last average of 1 hour 20 to 1 hour 30 minutes every day for the last 6 days to repeat the concept. You know, there's every tendency that somebody is watching me for the first time and has never heard a concept like this. That there's a responsibility of the believer to love another as long as the another is a man or a neighbor. Are we together? So if that person joins God's Palace today and you joined last week, well, there's a slight difference, right? But the truth remains that we must be able to give tolerance. We must be able to tolerate people at diverse phases of their growth, at different phases of their lives. Are we together? We need to do that, right? And you too that they are tolerating, you need to actually get yourself work. Don't be the one that is always tolerated. Get yourself up, pick yourself up, and begin to be the one tolerating others. Yeah, you can't be a Christian 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, 20 years since you were born, or when you were 10 years old, and when you were 15 years old. You've said you've been a diehard follower of the cross. In fact, your Instagram handle is a Holy Spirit's angel or Jesus boy, or your profile is unapologetic forgiven by the love of God. Well, yeah, let us see it. Don't be a baby for too long. Get yourself off that ground and act on the word. Get yourself off that ground of being tolerated and begin to be the one to show example of what tolerated is. Are we together? Right? So James will say, look at James 4:1. So James will say what? So James will say, from whence comes wars and fighting amongst you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Now, we saw that the word whence yesterday is the word puthen, which implies or speaks about a definite place. So what is James asking? James is asking, where does this war and fighting come from? Now, we said the word fighting is the word mache, M-A-C-H-E, if I'm not wrong, and it's a word that speaks about strife. So the wars and fighting that James is talking about in James 4 is not the war about cutlass or swords on horses. Yeah, it's the war that has to do with envy, strife, malice, unforgiveness. Yeah, the lust of the flesh, like Paul would call it in Galatians 5. Are we together? So you see, where is this fighting coming from? Now, go back all the way to James 3. James 3, James 3, James 3, James 3. Look at James 3, verse 10. Look at James 3, verse 10. So look at James 3:10. So what it says there? It says, out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Right? So what he's saying is that a fountain that ideally should bring salt water does not bring fresh water. A fountain that brings sweet water does not bring bitter water. A tree that is an olive tree or a fig tree does not bear olive berries. A tree that is a vine tree doesn't bear fig leaves. Are we together? Right? So it means that there's an expectation from a tree that you are. Yeah, the tree planted in the river by the river of God, or planted in the vineyard of God. Are we together? Right? So the same, for instance, must be able to pay attention to what has he been planted as. Who is the saint? Are we together? Who is the saint? Right? So, in us says in verse 13, James 3:13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, right? But is earthly, is sensual, is devilish. So what is the wisdom that is earthly, sensual, devilish, right? Bitter envy, strife. Are we together? You know, a lot of us, some of us, we explain strife away. You know, you can see a believer explain strife away and you'll be like, You can really explain strife away like this. You know, some people can explain malice away. And they will use the same Bible. Fear. If you don't fear human being, fear God. I hope you get what I mean. Right? So in the real sense, right, there's such a wisdom that is called earthly. It's called sensual. It's called of this world. Malice in any form can never be of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost does not inspire malice. No. Are we together? The Holy Spirit does not inspire offense. You say, I'm inspired. The Holy Ghost inspired me to stay in offense against you. Right? The Holy Ghost inspired me to stay in offense. You see, offense is so terrible. Strife is so terrible. You might know where you start from. You don't know where to end. Are we together? You don't know where to end. Right? You see, the first narrative of murder in the Bible, first, you see Cain and Abel. Yeah, it stems from strife, offense, malice. Are we together? You might know where it started from. Oh, dear saint, guard your heart. You might know where it starts from, but you really don't know where it ends. So when you know where it has started, stop it immediately. Immediately. You see, you see in scriptures a man, that's John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist, yeah? And he will be the one to say, behold the Lamb, to do the baptism and reveal Christ Jesus. Behold the one that takes away the sins of the world. Are we together? And he will now walk in offense after what he has seen. And he will say, well, go and ask him, is he the real one that is coming? Or are we expecting another? Offense. Very terrible a thing. He can mar you. You know, we say he can make or mar. He will mar you. Are we together? So you need to get your heart in the right place every time, every day, right? So why should you renew your mind every day? It is because every day there's a tendency for somebody to test you. There's a tendency for somebody to tempt you. There's a tendency for somebody to do something terrible to you that will throw you off balance. So you remind yourself every day. You recollect the love of God every day and your responsibility. So James will be saying, if ye have bitter envy, that's James 3:14, and strife in your heart, glory not. Don't glory, at least don't boast in it. Eh? Don't boast about it, right? If you have envy, if you have, bitter envy and strife in your heart, altogether, it's not something you should boast about. It's not something you should be proud to say. You just wake up, you just do post. You just say, in this year, 2023, I'm going to be cutting people the way so you get what you deserve. That's not the believer in you talking. That's the world, that's the flesh, that's the lust of your desires talking. The lust of your ego, right? Your pride, that's your pride talking. Yeah, you exalt yourself more than who you are. You forget that you are once ungodly, once an enemy of God, once without strength, and God in that moment sent his love towards you. Altogether, this year, I'm just focusing on me. Who asked you to focus on you? You see, Jesus never said, love the Lord thy God, then love yourself, then love others. Even when he says, love others as thyself, he didn't say, love yourself the way you want them to love you. He says, love them the way you have been loved. That's love thy neighbor as thyself. Altogether, if I love you the way I want to be loved, it is selfish love. But if I love you the way God loves me, it is a selfless love. I have a list of people. I have a list of people that are, you know, that they are cancelled. Their lives are cancelled. Well, God did not say that about you. Are we together? So the practice of the cancel culture is devilish. Is of this world. Is earthly. Are we together? That shouldn't proceed from you as a saint. Yeah, things around that shouldn't proceed from you as a saint. Things around that shouldn't proceed from you as a saint. Are we together? Right? So it means there's the practicality of God's love. There's the practicality of God's word. Are we together? I was going for interview. I told my pastor. My pastor did not reach out to me to ask how the interview went. Oh, well, if he did not reach out to you, what do you do? Because you need to get your heart in the right place. Reach out to your pastor. Oh, pastor, the interview went well. You see, doing things that way will save your heart from strife. Because what now happens is that he doesn't even care about me. And you start from there. You will think he doesn't even care about it until one day you are to supply help to him at his back and you will say terrible things. Yeah? So what is the practicality of nubbing? Once you see it raise his ugly head, cut it off. Once you see it raise his ugly head, cut it off. Once you see it raise his ugly head, cut it off. Cut it off. Cut it off. Put it where it belongs. Put it where it belongs. Are we together? Put it where it belongs. Yes. So it means as a believer, you might expect something from another believer. and the believer doesn't live up to that expectation, what do you do? Forget the expectation, yeah? So is there a place of talking about the expectation? Oh, well, yes. The Bible teaches, we couldn't touch it today, like I was saying on Tuesday. But the Bible will teach that there's a thing, that there's something called following peace with men, right? There's such a thing, you go there alone, you go there with the elders, you go there, there's such a way, there's a way cases like that are addressed. But to forfeit it and forget it and leave it, so before you know it, you start thinking, you hear somebody, something bad happened to somebody, you say, I hope it's brother Lagbaja. I hope it's sister Alice. I hope it's brother Alex. Eh? I hope it's sister. Yeah, you just be imagining. The way you now see the name, you escape this one. See, what I'm saying, you think I'm making it up. These are not movies. These are practical things I am aware of. These are practical things I have been involved in conversations regarding. Before you know it, you start wishing people evil. I'll be saying, I believe the best of you. I believe the best of you. I believe the best of you. You know, I wish, you know, I want you to succeed and excel. But we know what is in your heart. Cut it off straight. James will say, where are the wars and fightings coming from? It's not from that ideal source of sweet water. It's bitter water coming from sweet water. Are we together? So even a sweet fountain knows not to bring bitter water. You as a believer, you that you are sweet, you want to bring bitter. Are we together? Are we together? Right? See, are there things, look at it. You see, I can say this to you for free, right? There are things that I know that because I'm in a level of growth, or I'm growing really, and I need to guard my heart regarding, right? So what can be the safest thing I do? There can be a sister, there can be a brother. I mean, sister, brother. I'm talking of anybody at all that is a neighbor, right? And he might be doing something that when I see it, I walk myself up just by seeing it. What do I do? Straight, I can mute. Yeah. So if you see me tomorrow, right, I will not say because of what you are doing that is working me up, right? I will not say hello to you. I can have a full conversation with you about your life, and you will not know that I actually did something, so I'll not be worked up. Are we together? Right? Yeah. Where there's trouble is because somebody posts something, for instance, I'm getting worked up. I transfer that energy to the real life of the person. Are we together? So see, in muting people, does it affect the person? The impact of muting people, why am I sounding like this? Well, the impact of muting people does not affect the person you muted. For the person you muted might not know you muted them. Yeah, so who does it affect? It affects you. So it keeps you sane. So not the one that you will see somebody. See, there are people who teach opposite doctrines to the things I believe. Are we together? I don't get myself worked up by watching whatever they are doing, by watching whatever steps they are making. No, I don't do that. I save myself the strength such that I mute and put you where you belong. You don't know I muted you, but I have a consistent, solid relationship. In fact, I have people like that in their hundreds. I'm not saying 100 in exaggeration. No. I'm not over approximating. I have people like that in their hundreds where we don't believe alike. Are we together? And you see, there's sometimes you will see some things and you will just think the person is talking to you. Eh? So how do you save your heart? So you see, these are ways to guard your heart. How do you save your heart in that context? You can say, it doesn't affect you, Abby. So continue what you are doing. Not the one that small thing, you go here, you feel like any little post, they are spiting you, they are listening to your message. I'm talking as a pastor. Yeah, they've seen your post, they've seen the things you've done. They're not trying to I don't do all those things altogether, right? But you will never see that I have a strained relationship with one who is my brother, to whom Christ died for, or one who Christ died for. Together. So there are things like this that you weigh the impact, you weigh the effect, right? Then you see who is it affecting, what does it do, what does it change, what does it up to you if you go and tell the person I muted you. Well, that's your business, eh? But really, you know, you can stay away from that. Are we together? Why are you staying away from that? Not because you are trying to be, in quotes, mature or whatever, but in the real sense, because you're trying to help the person. Because the person might not take the message from what the complexity of human beings. Oh, gracious Father. Yeah. Thank God for clear instructions as to how to relate with people. Thank God for clear instructions. Else, we can easily assume things and just live carelessly the way the world will expect us to live, and we say we are serving Jesus. Are we together? Right? So it means that there's such a thing called wars and fightings. Not the one that somebody does something to you. If someone does something to me, what is expected of me to do? Not to speak to somebody else about it, but to speak to the person about it. Are we together? Because Now, because you are hurt regarding what the person did to you, there's every tendency that the way you will paint that story to another person will be nothing. The way you summarize it is gossip. You will not admit it now. I mean, how many of you admit when you gossip? How many of you used to admit when you gossip? But you know, there's what you call gossip and there's what you call staying away from gossip. Are we together? Right? So in the real sense, there are certain things that are expected from you on any day. Walk in love. Are we together? So if somebody offends me, what do? I pick the person, right? So if I think I am not bold enough to speak to the person yet, just yet, maybe for whatever reason the thing may be, right? What do? I go back to the place of prayer. But what did the Bible say? Love your enemies, pray for them. So start with prayer. You know, I would say this, you cannot successfully hate one you pray for. You can't, when I mean pray for, not pray against, pray for. You can't successfully hate. So I can't wake up every morning and say, this brother, this sister, this, I pray for you that your heart is more open to God's word. I pray for you that your love may abound yet more, right? You see, anything that makes you leave that prayer room and you keep malice in your heart, then you have a long way to go. But really, I can tell you for free, it's difficult too, especially when you pray from your heart. So where do you start from? You pray. Are we together? Right? So when you pray, you get boldness from prayer. What do you do next? You reach out. You speak. You say, oh, you see, brother this, sister this, really, you did this. So I know you might not really have meant it. You know there are some people in the real sense that because you want to walk in love towards them and not make them walk in the flesh, you will not tell them what they did at the initial goal. Right? You will first of all create a balance. Oh, gracious Father, the complexity of the human, of the human being, right? You first create, you know, I do that a lot of times, right? There are people, for instance, I want to correct. I'm not going this route because I cannot say it to your face. For you know, I can say anything to anybody's face, really. As long as it's on account of what the Word of God really teaches. Yeah, so we there are some people who can say it straight. There are some people who will say it gradually, right? I remember having a conversation, right, with someone, right? And I had to start going through different routes so that they can be that, in quote, rapport, just because I wanted to land the correction. Who was I doing? So that's an act of walking in love. I went together. I could have stayed away from that person and continued my lifestyle and not care that he or she existed. Are we together? Right? So in the real sense, you need to actually realize that when dealing with humans, love is the fulcrum by which you act. Are we together? Paul will say, you've been called into liberty. Let it be a way you render service to another. Are we together? Paul will say, love without dissimulation, preferring another. Yeah? So James will say, James 3. Verse 16. Now look at verse 15. It says, this wisdom descended not from above. Yesterday we saw the word above, and we said the word above is the exact word that was used as again in John 3:3. Except a man be born again. What does born again mean? Born from above. What is born from above? Is born from water. Born of water, I mean the spirit. Right? So he said, this wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, right? Then peaceable, then gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. What is full of mercy and good fruit? Yeah, it is the fruit of righteousness, right? Paul will now teach in Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit is love, then joy, peace. Then that starts mentioning the other things. He now says, this full of mercy and good fruit is without partiality and without hypocrisy, right? And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. Of them that make peace. So from where does this war and fight comes from? We started examining what this means. And we said that James in the book of James was talking particularly about the conduct of the saints. Altogether, James was talking particularly about the conduct of the saints. The conduct of the saints among the saints. He first addressed partiality. Altogether. Now look at verse 4. We ended in James 4:4 yesterday. Wow, time's gone. Look at James 4:4. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Now that James uses the word adulterers and adulteresses, doesn't mean he is talking to married people alone. Are we together? Let me show you an example. Look at Matthew 12:39. Look at Matthew 12:39 and look at what Jesus says. Look at verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Right? But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation. Now, nothing in this scripture inflares that the scribes were committing adultery in their marriages. No. Yeah, so he says, an evil and adulterous generation. So evil, I mean to say adulterous. So what does adultery really mean in this context? It will mean trying to derive pleasure from where you need not to derive pleasure from. Right? So an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Look at Hebrews 13:13. Look at Hebrews 13. Let bridal love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now look at verse 3. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Now it says verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed on the fire. But warmongers and adulterers, God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Right? So he uses that word again, adulterers. Together. So go back all the way to James 4. So he used the word adulterers and adulteresses as a figure of speech to explain walking in the flesh. Are we together? So what is walking in the flesh? Fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Are we together? That is trying to fulfill the lustful desires. Are we together? Are we here? So we try to pay attention to all of this yesterday. Now go back all the way to James 4:1 again. So he says, from whence comes this wars, I mean, we saw that yesterday. The word and fightings is wars, I mean to say, fightings among you. Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? He says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not. Now we said the word ask there is the word that is aito in the Greek. And we said that word is a word that speaks about desire. Altogether, is a word that speaks about desire. Right? So he says to ask there will mean to desire. Are you following that? Right? So we said the word there to ask is to crave for or to desire. So when it says ye ask and receive not, it is ye desire and receive not. So he's saying that these your desires are not, yeah, they are not received in the real sense from above. That should make sense to you, right? Because we explain what above is, that is of the spirit. Yeah, your desires in the real sense are not from above. So you crave for and receive not because you are craving amiss, right? That ye may consume it upon your lustful desires. Are we together? So the word there, receive, we said is the word lambano. And it's a word that means to take advantage or to take from or to act based on or to receive from something. Are we together? So the ask in verse 4 and verse 2 is in reference to their desires. What was their desires? Their desires were lustful desires to walk in the flesh, to walk in hatred, to walk in unforgiveness. Are we together? Right? So he says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume. Now, what is the word amiss? The word amiss is the word that refers to something evil. Are we together? To refer to something evil. So when he says he ask amiss, he's referring to asking for or talking about desires that are evil, not good. Altogether. So how can you understand James 4:3 better? Yeah, you can say it as ye desire what is not in your nature, because those desires are evil. Are we together? Yeah. So you desire things that are not in your nature because those desires are evil. Right? What are the desires that are evil? Strife, hatred, unforgiveness, quarreling, malice. Yeah? Now, that ye may consume it upon your desires, that you may fulfill your quest or your cravings. All together. You know how you are craving for something sweet, right? And you take that thing that is sweet and put in your stomach, then you see you've satisfied your cravings. Now, James is saying, in satisfying those cravings, you don't receive those cravings from the spirit or from above. For there's a wisdom that is earthly, sensual, devilish of this world. So James is really explaining that walking in strife, walking in forgiveness, all those things do not emanate from the spirit. They do not emanate from above. They emanate from the desires which are not from the spirit or the nature of the believer. Are we together? So the believer is first one created from above. He's born again, born of water, born of the spirit, right? And there's a nature of the believer. Now the believer has a tendency to lust after things that are not in his house. So think about it this way. You have a house, or your father's house. Your father has a TV, he has 3 cars. He has 5 cars. Or let's say your father has 3 cars, he has 3 TVs, and he has 3 washing machines, right? And what you are craving for is another car in another man's compound. So what is James saying? Your father really expects you to be satisfied with these 3 cars, 3 washing machines, 3 TVs. But you are leaving all of those things and craving to receive. Right, you are craving to receive from something that is not in your father's house. Yeah, that's what James is teaching. You have a nature. The nature is the nature of the spirit, nature from above. Right, and you are craving something that is not the nature, that is not from the nature of God. So he's asking, where do these desires emanate from? Where are they coming from? So look at verse chapter 3 again. Look at verse 15. This wisdom descended not from above, right? Look at verse 17. But this wisdom is from above. So what is this wisdom is from above? He said it means that there's a wisdom that is of the nature of the spirit, or a wisdom that is of the spirit. And there is that is earthly, sensual, devilish. Are we together? So how do you understand verse chapter 4 of verse 4? Ye adulterers and adulteresses. A summary, you can say it, right? So that your mind doesn't go into male and female committing adultery. You can just say, ye adulterous generation, like Jesus will say in Matthew. Yeah? You evil and adulterous generation. Right? So you can better understand it as ye are adulterous. Right? So what does adultery mean? Right? So it is trying to explain that so it's not dealing with sexual immorality from the marriage union, but dealing with trying to derive satisfaction from that which is not the marriage bed of Christ and his bride, the church. Are we together? So you are a wife in the bride of Christ, yeah? You are a member of the bride, rather, of the marriage between, the marriage union between Christ and his bride, right? So you are going out to look for desires that are not in that marriage, that cannot be fulfilled in that marriage. So you are trying to make somebody satisfy you outside of your marriage bed. Yeah, that's what he's teaching. All together. You see, that word there is the word maekalis. So what is James addressing? James is addressing the walking in flesh of the saints. So what is asking amiss? The word ask there, we said, is the word to crave. So what is asking amiss? Craving amiss. That is desiring amiss. Or desiring something that is not in your nature. Are we together? So James was not teaching conduct or reading prayer at all. When he says he ask and receive not because he ask amiss. Look at, let me show you an example of James teaching prayer. Look at James 5:14. Look at James 5:9. James chapter 5 verse 9. Are you in James 5? Look at what Paul says. Paul says, grudge not one against another, brethren. You see, James teaches it, Paul teaches it, Jesus teaches it. So James says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, they just stand there before the door. Now he says, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, afflictions, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and I've seen that the end of the Lord, and that the Lord is very pitiful and tender in mercy. So what was James' conclusion from reading the book of Job? That the Lord is tender in mercy and very pitiful. Are we together? So it means if we go back to James, or we really need to go back to James to see where the afflictions came from. So we really need to go back to Job to see where the afflictions came from. For you see, James will conclude that in Job's story, God is very pitiful and merciful. Look at verse 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any of the oath, but let your yea be yea, and let your nay be nay, lest he fall into condemnation. Now look at verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Are we together? Let him what? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over you. So you see, this is an example of the word prayer used, and the pray there means prayer points. Are we together? Yeah? That word pray is not desire. Are we together? Right? So this prayer there. So let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Look at verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Look at verse 16. Confess your fault one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Careful again. Confess your fault one to another, right? And pray one for another that ye may be healed. Now, this healing in verse 16, is he healing of verse 15? Not really. Look at it very well, right? The sick in verse 15 is not the sick in verse 16 that he's addressing. Right, so when he says confess your fault one to another that he may be healed, right, he's not saying go and tell some. So look at it this way, look at it, confess your fault one to another and pray one for another that he may be healed. What is he saying? Go and speak to somebody about your fault or about their fault, right? And the person might be having malaria before, and when he hears his fault, he comes out, he's healed, yeah? Or the person might have, do you understand? That's not what he's teaching. So the healing here that he's talking about in James 5:16 is the healing of strained relationship. So he's saying that when people talk together and confess their fault and have conversations, that is what brings healing to strained relationships. Are we together? Are we together? Right? Are we together? So confess your fault one to another. Yeah, that means there's a way. So when two people are keeping strife, what is that? That's a sick relationship. How do you bring healing to that relationship? Converse. Have a conversation. Talk about it. Talk about it. You did this. I did this. Well, what do we do from here so that we don't do it again? Yeah? So confess your fault one to another that ye may be healed. You get that? So it means that in the real sense, what James is teaching in the book of James primarily has its tone. With conduct, the way of life, the works of the saints, right? So let's try to wrap up James 4 this evening. Look at James 4. Go back to James 4. James 4. So James 4, if I were to write it in God's Palace Translation, this is what we'll write, right? So let's do it together, right? So from where comes wars and fightings amongst you? Me, what I'll write is into brackets, I mean to say the envying and strife and malice and unforgiveness and the likes, like I had mentioned just above in chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. So can I see how I've written the first sentence in James 4:1? And I'll say, come they not hence, even of your lust. And I say, these things called envy, strife, malice, they are actually from your lustful desires. They are evil desires, right? He now says, ye lust, ye desire and have not. What does it mean by ye desire and have not? Ye kill. What I mean by ye kill means you actually desire things that are not of your nature, right? And you cannot really obtain it from your nature. So it means you are living beside yourself. Together, yeah. So that now comes in from what I taught yesterday, James chapter 1, when he was talking about be doers of the word, right, and not hearers only. Are we together, right? And we say there's a tendency for a believer to be an actor, yeah. So he now says, he says, ye fight and war. What is fight and war? You keep malice, you keep strife, you keep offenses in your heart, right? Yet ye have not because ye ask not, right? So he's saying that these desires really are not things that should be found in you. So these desires are things that are negative to what should be expressed from you, right? For it is the wisdom that is not from above. He now says in verse 3, he says, ye desire what is not in your nature. What do I mean by what is not in your nature? These desires I'm seeing, these lustful desires are evil. Into bracket, same thing, lust of envy, strife, malice, unforgiveness, and likes, that ye may consume it upon your desires. He says, you are adulterous. I just say adulterous. Ye are adulterous. Ye are adulterous. That means you are trying to get satisfaction outside of the marriage bed, right? That's as it should be. How do you see the content of what is explained? Look at what it says here. It says, know ye not that friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever death. So what is he explaining as friendship of this world? It is things that are not in the nature of God, that are worldly, earthly, or sensual. What Paul would admonish you to say, do not be transformed, not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. Not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are we together? Are we together? Right? He now says, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of this world is the enemy of God. So this enemy of God, is it based on salvation? No. Is it based on faith by works which is dead? Yes. So he's saying that enmity with God really is going to be you are divorcing yourself from the nature that God expects from you by being a friend with the ideologies that this world presents. Did you get that? Did you get that? Did you get that? So the essence of James' writing is to address the believer. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. I would get that. So having the heart of humility of a child is one of the easiest ways to allow God's love express or flow through you. I would get that. If you have a pride heart, a prideful heart, what happened? You are resisting what God wants to demonstrate towards you. That's what that scripture really is saying. Are we together? He's not saying that, you see, God will have different kinds of children. He's not saying that the people that are God's children, that are proud, he will resist them. No, it is in your slant of being proudful or prideful, rather, you are segregating, you are depriving others from a flow of love that should easily come from you. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near unto God and he will draw near unto you. Cleanse your heart, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, right? Let your laughter be turned into mourning. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. So what is James really addressing? Conduct. So upon account of you being born from above, what is your conduct like? What do people see based on your conduct? Or what does your conduct say about you? Or what does your conduct say about your heart? What does your conduct say about your conscience? What does your conduct say about your relationship with man? Altogether. So you see that what James taught was not unique to James. For Jesus taught the same. For Moses taught the same. For the prophets taught the same. For Paul taught the same. For James taught the same. For Peter taught the same. Did you get that? Did you get that? So there's such a thing called the lust of the flesh. There's such a thing called the evil heart of unbelief, yeah, that you've been passed from because you believe the message of the gospel. But there's such a thing called acting like you are still in unbelief. That is acting beside your nature, acting a drama. That is acting a character of who you really are not. Let's go all the way to 1 John while we wrap up this series this evening. Or before you go to 1 John, look at Ephesians. Ephesians 5 verse 1. So, can you summarize what James is teaching as, dear saints, where are these wars and fightings from? Be ye followers of God now. Or look at it this way. So, you can say James is saying, where are all these fights coming from? Look at Ephesians 4:31. So if you look at verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, people can teach this alongside with, and the sin that cannot be pardonable is the sin against the Holy Spirit. And that's why some people don't speak in tongues till today, because they don't want to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Well, and Bible interpretation will show you that what it means there is not what you might think it means. So what will grieve ye not the Holy Spirit be? It really means summarized as, do not act outside what is expected from the Spirit of God in you. Yeah? How do you know that's what he's trying to say? That's why the next thing says, let bitterness and wrath. Do you understand? So he can't be saying, if you grieve the Holy Spirit gets angry. And the next line is saying, put anger away. It's not adding up, right? Yeah? So the Holy Spirit really get angry depending on what you do for the Holy Spirit. But you as a person put on, no. So Blair says, when he says no and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, what he's really saying summarily is, in the real sense, don't act to the nature of the Spirit that you have. I would say that. Don't act anti the nature of the Spirit of God that you have. Right? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Is that the same thing James was teaching about? Yes. Where is this evil speaking coming from? Where is this anger coming from? Where is this bitterness coming from? He says, let all of this be put away from you with all malice. That means put malice away, right? And be ye kind one to another. Now, can somebody walk in malice towards you? Yes. What is expected from you? Walk in love. What is expected from the person walking in malice? Walk in love. What is the person doing? The person is acting against the Holy Ghost or acting against his nature. That is, the person is grieving the Holy Ghost. Do you get that? Right? So in grieving the Holy Ghost, what is really doing? Not allowing the flow of the spirit of love from him in his character, in her character. Altogether. He says, be ye kind one to another. So if somebody is not kind to you, what is the instruction to the person? The person is to be kind to you, but unfortunately, the person is not kind to you. What is the instruction to you? Be kind to the person. Altogether. Be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Right? Even as God for Christ's sake had forgiven you. He now says, be ye therefore followers of God. This is summary of what James is teaching the church, the brethren. You people that are allowing wars and fightings, follow God now. Be kind one to another. Don't keep malice. Don't keep bitterness. All together. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God as for a sweet-smelling savour. Yeah? Go all the way to Romans 12. Let's go to Romans 12 before we go to 1 John. Romans 12, 9. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Dear saints, let me leave you with these words, right? The clear-cut instruction to you, despite an inspirable man does to you, is to allow brotherly love to continue, is to let brotherly love to continue. Saints, never get tired of walking in love. Never get tired of walking in love. You see, there is one who you might forgive today, and the fact you forgive the person today doesn't mean the person will never offend you again. Right? But the point remains that at every point T, when the person offends you again, you have an obligation to what? Walk in love. You have an obligation to what? To forgive one another. Right? Be kindly affectionate one to another. Let brotherly love continue. Always together. Bless them which persecute you. Romans 12, 14. And curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescends to men of lower estate. Now look at verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. That means give no man evil. So he says, do not give back to a man that brings evil evil. Or do not give evil back to a man that brings evil your way. Altogether. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as the light in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. All together. Now let's go to 1 John. Final scripture. 1 John 3. Now look at 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive the love of God, right? That he laid down his life for us. What does that mean? We learn to know or learn to understand the love of God by seeing what he did, by giving down his life for us. He says, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Look what he now says. He says, whosoever hath this world's good. That means if you have this world's good, right, and you see a brother that has need, and you shut up your bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? He's not saying the love of God doesn't dwell in you. He's saying, how are you proving that the love of God really dwells in you? Which what James will say, faith without works is dead. I put together. My little children, let us love in words. Let us not love in words, rather, neither in tongues, but in deed and in truth. You can't say, I love you. I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. And you keep malice against another. And you keep grudge against another. Right? Confess your fault one to another so that there can be healing made available. That is God's expectation from you. Look at chapter 4. Verse 9. Look at verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. So if I were to write 1 John 4:11, how would I write that? Yeah, I would say, beloved, since God also loved you, you also need to love another. Right? You also need to love another. You also need to love another. Verse 17 now says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as it is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casted out fear, because fear had torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So what is we loved him because he first loved us? It is we receive of his love, so we love others because he first loved us. That's why the next line says, if a man says, I love God and hated his brother, he's a liar. What does it really mean? For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So he's saying, somebody offends you, you are seeing the person with your two full eyes, and you can't love the person with your full chest, but you are claiming you love God who you've never seen. Are we together? Right? How can he love God whom he had not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Well, it's been a beautiful pleasure to bring God's word your way this evening again. I hope you've been instructed. I want you all to go back to these teachings and listen to every single one of them. Right? Every single one of them without missing any. Right? Get your heart into the place to receive these teachings again and again and again and again and again. In fact, you can listen to this from time to time over the next few years till we come back to a series like this and address what we're addressing in this series. Well, see you all tomorrow. If you're in Nigeria, well, the Abuja Church meets by 9 o'clock. You see yourselves tomorrow by 9 a.m. If you're in the UK, I'll be with you live by 10 o'clock. And we continue our teaching on the wooden love tomorrow. I hope you've been instructed by the teachings we've had over the last few days. And we've had a couple hours spent together, you know, navigating our Bible regarding the love responsibility for the saints. Well, until I come your way again, we'll see you tomorrow. If I don't see you tomorrow, next time, stay joyful, stay faithful, and learn to obey God's word and decide to yourself that you're a doer of the word and not just a hearer. I love you dearly. I believe in God's mighty hand upon your life, and I know that you and I, in obedience to God's word, we will take the gospel to the ends of the earth and actually walk in love as expected from us. Have a lovely night, rest. Cheers.